get down to the core of it, and it's gone further, and they have some idea of how much deeper to go depending on where it shows up. If it shows up in a radically different area, chances are it's much deeper into the system. So again, it's a test and adjust, test and adjust. But that whole concept of sufficient evidence and insufficient evidence, and qualitative counterexample and quantitative counterexample. This is another very important feature in theory construction. I'd say that with that we've touched on the most important aspects of theory construction itself, not going into some of the subject matter like identity and so on that are of particular interest to political theory. Now there's some stuff in here on inductive theory. It's inductive and the whole question of evidence is dealt with most strongly in scientific theories. They deal with these problems in a control group. Now say for instance in doing a study on prostitution you figure questions given the number of people you've interviewed and which seem central, but you always have to have a control group you're also interviewing to make sure that the answers you're getting are really in some way distinctive to prostitutes, women engaged in. But then you get again tricky, right? How do you define prostitution? Paid in what way? Direct? Or a woman who's married and, you know, bed and board and services in return? This is a form. Again, you have to get refined in your definitions, and this is not done for obvious reasons. I mean, people want to think that prostitution is way over there, and being a wife is way over there.
But that's not defined by law in terms of where it's placing social.
Well, it's interesting that in the basic definitions of it that I found, it's having sex for money without love.
Yeah.
The without love is what's distinctive. So then you think, but why should that make so much difference?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, voluntary.
Mm-hmm. And we want to break some of these laws down.
When what?
We want to break the laws down.
Yeah, of course.
So we can't define things within the laws.
Hmm. Well, it sometimes gives you a tip as to the pathology that's going on in the society with it. In other words, how they're defining it and how to, again, break down the barriers in between and show how, although women, I've never seen women resist anything. Like, you talk to women, they never heard of prostitution somehow. I mean, it's just, they don't know, oh, really, it still exists, still that, oh, really? Oh, well, actually, you know, they hadn't ever really thought about it. And the whole thing is, well, at least I'm not a prostitute. No matter what else, at least he may beat me, take all my money.
Take all my husband's money. Take my husband.
But I'm not a prostitute. So that's why, again, it's women not defining, that just allows them to have this emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't lock the door.
Might be.
Left the bell downstairs. We're looking at the theater.
Thank you.
That'd be funny.
I'm trying to think of how I can get it. How, you all start talking about what you would think of in terms of the, in reference to the idea of sufficient evidence. Start talking about what you would think that would be.
Well, he had fingerprints on the gun. It's his fingerprints. Her fingerprints on the gun.
Which is sufficient evidence for what?
That the gun in her hand.
Yeah, that would be awful.
Not that they pulled the trigger.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Great. Oh. First time I've ever written a book.
May not be your last.
Beautiful.
I'm just going to go over briefly what I was talking about, and then I can get on to some of the examples. That, well, I apologize before, I just said that, you know, the last 4 years have just piled up, and, you know, sometimes if I don't make it, I just, you know, I'm just like that. Anyway, I think that people are getting the idea of rationality. In other words, that a series of statements that connect and must hold together and have some relationship that can be understood. And I think that there's elements of logic is a good thing, and that we have that, and that has worked well. The other very important idea that we haven't gotten into that I started again tonight is the concept of evidence, which has to do with induction. When you make a generalization, there are certain statements that are not purely deductive, but in fact you must present evidence for, and the evidence varies. Now there's some stuff about induction in here that we should say. You find a great deal of work on this in philosophy of science. And I have some books I can bring on that paperback if you're raising certain questions. So we consider what constitutes sufficient evidence for a particular generalization. I have an example here in the research that has a statement. Has two premises of conclusion that's invalid. But there are also problems, and it's laid out very simply, so it's that's very good so that we can see it clearly. What counts as insufficient evidence? What counts as a quantitatively sufficient challenge to a generalization? And what constitutes a qualitative challenge to the sufficiency of a generalization? So I want to talk about that. And I think it's good that people keep doing the lessons. Some of them, as I'm getting to them, I'm bringing them in. I think it's working, it works well. Because then we learn, each one of us learns from our own mistakes, and with the blackboard we can see and learn from each other's. And then I think that we can try a project like, and something we've all been involved in is media. What are we talking about when we're talking about media? What is our objection? The way media is handling, say, for instance, lesbianism. What standards? In other words, we object to the way something is done because we have a different standard. What is that standard? What is media? What is its relationship to society? And that we should start now in taking something that is large to all of us and applying some of these. I think that the concepts are grasped solidly enough to now begin trying to apply it to something. and there's been a lot of talk in the movements about media, and there's been like, but it's just never added up to anything. Just been vaguely an objection, and people talk about establishment media. Nobody really kind of talks about why they are saying that and how that is different from the media that they are saying is all right. For instance, on feminism, I found the underground papers were, if anything, even worse at the beginning. So that, you know, it has to be defined, the role, what standards there should be before we can map out any kind of tactics to change media in terms of responsibility. So those were the ideas. And then, now that Marika was here too, I can...
Excuse me, Peter.
Yes.
You said we've all been involved with media. What do you mean involved with media?
No, I'm saying that there's been like the New York Times piece, right, that we all saw in terms of, there's been the... there was the Bandy show thing. Seeing that, and seeing the media treating a subject.
Oh, you mean we've all seen the media treat subjects.
No, and well, this subject has been coming up a great deal recently in connection to the women I know here. Right? So that, but people are very unclear about what the media's responsibilities are, laying them out, what they really think they are, how serious abridgments are, and at what point that they are intolerable and have to be dealt with. But you can't deal successfully or constructively or even politically unless you know what you want in its place, and then you say, that's what we want, there's not going to be any discussion, that's what we want, and you just, you know, hammer until you get that. But this would be a good example, because many movements, different movements, have complained about the media in a very sloppy way. I mean, it's just never been really clear. It's never been laid out. A theory of the place of media, which is a very special kind of thing in society, with different kinds of responsibilities than maybe some other things. This would be something that I think is, that it can be worked out with the tools that people have now, and that we, and the dealing with something that is very alive, people, you know, grow much faster. Even, I think we can call that. Okay, so this, Marika has something. Oh, and Len, you were giving me something, but it's not in the sort of premise and conclusion. Mm-hmm. And it's harder for people to see it then. Mm-hmm. So there were at the end, you brought up a statement then saying that the answering statement does not follow the question. But here, it looks like there are suppressed premises, that problem of suppressed premises, which doesn't necessarily mean that the question wasn't answered, but that, in fact, some of the intervening premises were suppressed. So if you lay it out very much as Marika did, you know, just in that simple form, it's much easier for everybody to follow. Suppressed premises when you have a deduction that you can say follows, even though all the premises are not listed, because you can pick out the premises that are implied. Some people say this is a valid deduction, some people say it is not, depending how sticky you want to be. That the conclusion is true, that the premises listed are part of the deduction, but that all of the premises are not listed. They call that a suppressed premise. Okay, so this is.
I don't follow that.
Okay, well, what about, as I said, it's going to be simpler to use it for everybody to follow. You'll see what I mean when I take Marika's. Lay it out. If it's laid out in this simple form, it's much easier to lay it out for everybody to see in simple terms of severity.
Marika has two premises and a conclusion. Now, Thank you. over and over and over again why you came to DOD, because of my understanding about what DOD is. And partially that encompasses that DOD is a lesbian organization. Okay. Lesbians are female homosexuals. Okay. Lesbians in DOV, if they choose to become political actively, are fighting for equality and the rights of not only female homosexuals, but male homosexuals as well.
Well, why didn't it have men in it then, like GLF? No, but you're saying DOB stands for such and such. I'm saying that there is certain evidence that raises the question about that, namely, that if it is fighting for the rights of both male and female homosexuals, then how come men are can't be members of DOB?
Don't
States
we still are fighting for male homosexuals? Did we change?
Well, I think we should clarify. In the first place, DOB is, yes, a lesbian organization which welcomes all women.
Exactly.
Yes. And, our gay brothers can only come in that door if they've had a special invitation for a specific reason.
Yes, I understand that.
It is true that working in coalition, primarily with GAA, we have combined forces on demonstrations that affect all homosexuals. But DOB, per se, is a lesbian organization which welcomes all women.
Yes, I understand that. But in conjunction with that, because of the fact that we are fighting in coalition with male homosexual groups, means that we are not only, we are primarily fighting for lesbian rights, lesbian equality, in the heterosexual and homosexual world. Now, if my assumption is correct, that we are fighting for equality for lesbians and in coalition with the male homosexuals fighting for equality for male homosexuals.
But also in coalition with feminist groups.
And also in coalition with feminist groups. How do we get around the fact that some of the feminist groups may say all the men should go to hell? And how do we get around the fact that a lot of...
Well, you don't have any here, and that's a good beginning. You know, I mean, as I'm concerned, that's why I'm here. That was one reason I'm not at the Women's Center, because I heard that some men were going up to the Women's Center. Now, that eliminates a certain obvious problem.
We
in terms of getting down to business.
Okay, we have two different premises here, I would think. Fighting for gay oppression, both male and female, as well as fighting for women's liberation, which definitely includes straight women and gay women.
Yes, I understand.
Now, I would hope that DOB will continue not admitting men into the center, for the sole reason that women cannot gain their self-identity when men are around. That was one of the reasons why in GLF the women split and became the gay, GLF women, and then later on split completely to go into the radical lesbians, for the sole reason that they found themselves constantly in the presence of men. They were always saying it's this right or something like that, even though they're lesbians, but they're there. So it's better to isolate yourself away and attain your self-identity, because it cannot be done when there is a man around.
Can I ask why? Why can't a woman have an
identity?
Well,
let her finish what she's...
Just on that, because I just want to know, could you explain that? Why women lose their identity when men are around?
Because men are oppressors, and even though they might be homosexuals, they still oppress.
It's the same analogy to that would be the reason why third world gay people split away from the white people was, you see, before I could never speak in the white group, because being third world myself, I was not on the same level I was not on the same level, you see. I could not converse on equal terms because that was a mental oppression. Women are also mentally oppressed. In the presence, just the presence of a man makes them mentally oppressed.
All women?
All women. I would say all women. All women.
I would like to come back if I'm sorry. I thought you were going to.
I just want to say something that we were talking about before, and I was just getting my thoughts straightened out. I just want to say that we're talking about, I think, intelligence. I just want to say that every woman is intelligent, but it is a degree of awareness of the intelligence, the degree of awareness. Women get together away from men to become more aware. You see, this is the thought. what we're talking about is the definition of what is freedom. What is freedom, okay? A woman may not feel oppressed because she is not totally aware. She's not aware. So what is freedom? First, you have to define what is freedom. And anything that stifles that goal of freedom makes that person oppressed. Because there's some kind of stifling there. So all women are oppressed. All women are oppressed, and we all feel oppressed. I can't believe one that would say that I am not oppressed, because you could adapt. You could be adapting.
No, but see, by positing that there is a personal solution, one already admits the oppression.
Right.
In terms of saying, as an individual, that while women may be, that personally one can escape it, you know, carries the seeds of the contradiction in it. But I want to continue with finish your argument.
Mm.
Oh, finish the proposition about why I was at DOB, because it was both about homosexuality and about feminism in terms of connections. And you had gotten to about it's both people, male homosexuals too. In other words, homosexuality as an issue and also feminism as an issue.
Right, and the fact that lesbians, not per se, but lesbians, most lesbians are anti-men.
Awful lot don't admit it.
Well, that's the thought that I've come across in talking with a lot of the women who come to DOB. They want to be in a place where men are not to be allowed at all.
Well, then how does that conflict with talking about DOB being about male homosexuality too?
Let me say, for our actions, as I understand it, we are dealing specifically with the lesbian oppression. If the male homosexuals call an action that deals with homosexuality in general, most people think homosexuality only refers to men anyway.
Mm. Yeah, but you're asking, aren't you asking...
I lost my whole train of thought.
The question you were asking me, you were saying you were wondering after the first session, you said that you couldn't sleep for about 3 hours. And then I assume you didn't mean this is all you thought about for those 3 hours, but why I was here, or why I wanted to do the workshop here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what you followed that by, it seems you're saying, now, what I seem to be talking about is feminism, and this is supposed to be a group primarily about homosexuality. I mean, that was the way it was presented.
No, that's not what I meant to present it as. Mm-hmm.
And then how, I thought that was the question, that this seemed like a contradiction to what I needed. existence.
I can't really formulate what I was thinking about. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that was roughly the impression I had given, you know, the presentation and the premises of the argument. I think that lesbianism is very key to feminism from many points of view. I don't know, were you here at that opening?
Yes.
Well, I tried to explain it, including charts and all the rest of it there. I think that it's very hard from, I did think lesbianism was a lot about feminism, but if people tell you, like say for instance, I came to a meeting once and it was supposed to be on the lesbian attitude towards men, and I was the only one who didn't like men there. And everybody said, some of my best friends are men, and all this, and I felt, and I find out, and I said, you know, I feel kind of weird with it. So I said what I had thought, and somebody said, we know who you are. You're about hate, and we're about love. So, I mean, now, what was I supposed to say? You don't know what you're talking about. So I'm just saying that as far as it, a lot of people don't, although it's changing a lot, like you could see with the ladder, the line changing over the years. Some of the letters I still have, because you won't believe it without reading it, that feminists were all people with black babies. The idea was, any feminist is somebody who's really in the black movement and is trying to, who is not really about women. I mean, these were editorials, right? I mean, incredible, incredible stuff. And very anti-feminist, violently anti-feminist. So that the reason I want to do this here partly is personal, because one of the most discouraging things in the movement has been that women who are involved with men tend not to want to put the effort and time into doing very serious things. There's a conflict there. And two, if you think too much, you can come up against that trial sample in the corner. So that's an additional problem. Now, whether it's that great a difference remains to be seen in terms of it is dangerous to think. And all women, for good reason, are afraid. So the reason I wanted to do it here, one, I think it's beautiful center. I think that what's happening here now, by now I mean since it opened, is the heaviest feminist stuff going. This is from my... talking about women, trying to understand women, so on. So that's why I wanted to do it here. And we have to see, you know, where it goes.
I feel very frustrated right now.
Why?
Because everybody else was given the opportunity to finish their statement in the first place, and I was not given that opportunity. Like, two people interrupted me, and they carried on their whole conversation. And I lost my whole, like, my whole train of thought, because I was interrupted, and I'd been thinking about this particular question and premise and et cetera ever since the first workshop. And I feel very frustrated because of it. Because I wasn't allowed to complete my whole thing.
You saying that I didn't allow you to?
No, I'm not saying
or
you didn't
you
allow me to. I'm saying that whoever interrupted me in the first place to pose their own question and to talk about their own thing did not allow me to do it.
Why didn't you demand it then?
Because for one reason, I was not going to use their tactic of cutting off somebody.
Are you speaking about what I said, because you said I will have to ask Miss Simpson that.
No.
She's
no,
speaking
no.
of me.
I was speaking about
me.
Her and
well,
her.
Only to well, no. Mm-hmm.
Because they went into their whole thing.
But so now you feel frustrated. You feel angry.
I feel angry and frustrated. I don't feel hurt.
So that my question is, you said you didn't want to use their tactic. We have to bring these things up when they happen, because what has happened is that you sat on it in the sense of inside and got more and more compressed, and now the anger that's coming out, you know, I think it might be greater now than it would have been at that time. And something's happening. There's tension. Something's. What's happening?
I feel a hostility, that's for sure.
No, are you talking about. Do you think. Is this really what you're angry about? Do you think it's. That there's something more?
I'm just wondering, because, like, a couple of times. When Alberta started to say something to
Anne,
and Anne looked at her, and Alberta said, "Excuse me," and then let Anne finish what she was saying. Now, I was looking at Anne the whole time that she was talking, and, like, I was not looking at her in a hostile way.
But see,
and I don't feel hostility, I feel angry, that's the difference.
What's the difference between being angry and being hostile?
I think it's a degree.
Which is greater?
I think hostility is greater.
But see, like, I was watching Anne at that moment. Now, it's funny because I remember I said something about she's finished in the argument. Now, Anne had following something, she had dropped something in her mind, right? In other words, she'd lost part of her argument that she was talking about before. And in watching, she was finally found it again. And she was not. She was not conscious. I don't think that she was related. I think it came and just all of a sudden she found it and she started talking. So I don't think she was aware of what was happening with you. So I don't think that it was an act directed.
No, I don't think so either.
At you. But.
It's impressive.
But the. But you're saying, in other words, it's like. Something. I don't want to use the word wrong as loaded. I don't mean it that way. I mean, there's something that doesn't seem to quite hang together. And I feel I'm missing a piece.
Is it possible that you feel that some of the women are being more aggressive and you're losing something because you're behaving perhaps as women should be and you're not forcing yourself as much, and for that reason you might feel more angry about it because you should have asserted yourself at the minute, but you're not used to doing that, and you might resent other people who do that?
I don't think that assertiveness necessarily is something that I lack.
In other words, she's saying she said she didn't want to use the same tactic, which
right,
was a value judgment
maybe it's
at that point.
Aggressiveness or something, rudeness, whatever you want
no,
to
but
say.
She's saying she disapproves of it. That's what she's saying.
Right, well, I don't disapprove of it as a male-female thing. Like, women should not be assertive and aggressive. I disapprove of it just as a personal tactic that I choose not to use.
Yeah, but see, but now, if you look, it would have been much less, if you will, disruptive or aggressive to have said something then than now. Do you see what I mean? In that it is, if you had said something to her like now you're talking about how you felt. Now, how do you think she feels now? Because here is this attention focused on her as having done something that, let's say you're accusing her of something, of being inconsiderate or what have you. So it's almost more hostile to do it this way than to have said at the time, "Why don't you shut up? I want to finish my thought." You know, because you would have had to break through, because I know, you know, you could watch her face, and at last she found it again. And so she was concentrating, trying not to lose it. Now I'm just saying, as far as
maybe that's why I did it, because I knew what she was going through when I did that.
But don't you think that, in terms of no, I know you're angry. I feel the anger. I think that's what I mean. You know, I can always be projecting all these things, right? I
don't
feel the anger
so much.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
My anger has
the,
like,
possibility.
I get angry and that's it. It's not.
But I feel, because I can't give all the evidence, but I feel as if there's more behind the anger than that, and this was something to focus it on. Because I felt when you were saying to me about, like, you've been thinking. The way it was phrased somehow, it was almost like anger, it seemed to me, towards me, or an accusation towards me about why I want to do this workshop at DOB. Now, I'm saying that's what I felt, and I could be mistaken, but I'm just wondering, it seemed out of proportion. Your anger seems out of proportion than what just happened. So maybe I was, you know, I'm trying to understand the dynamics of the things that are happening, because all of these things are important to the workshop, you know, accomplishing something.
No, well, I think that my anger was not out of proportion, first of all. Maybe that's just how I get angry.
No, in other words, you...
But, I mean, I was not trying to make an angry statement to you. I was trying to find out, you know, because I was trying to understand, first of all. What the priorities are. You keep talking about priorities.
In terms of feminism and lesbianism, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm not putting out priorities in terms of issues. I'm trying to get across tools whereby people can make, that's part of the theory, you see what I mean? And that's exactly what I'm trying to avoid. Putting out a theory instead of trying to develop certain tools whereby everybody can develop theories and we can find the truth in that sense, together. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you may be reacting to something I've said in other times, or there may be, you know, sometimes I have felt that in terms of DOB, like from the beginning, well, I'm talking about like 2 years ago or so. Or is there's a thing of, you, DOB wants all women, but there's also a kind of hostility and challenge if somebody is not into lesbianism in a certain kind of way. Do you see what I mean? So I can't tell where some of the things are coming from. Now, your anger was directed towards me. I mean, you were addressing me, you know, about the interruption. Why had these people interrupted? That's why I thought, did you think I was supposed to control that in some way? But I mean, I don't know. How did you feel? How do you feel about what's been happening?
Well, when you were talking, when you were talking, I didn't know you were trying to go deeper into that premise. I didn't know, and I just said something to add to it. I didn't realize it. I should become more sensitive. I feel, in this way, betrayed too, that you told her and you didn't tell me. I have a tendency of doing this, you know, because, I'm a slow thinker. And I'm a slow thinker, and I feel sometimes I feel cheated too, that I am not able to give all my, you know, give what I am thinking, you know. So that's why, what you see, when I thought, what the thing I said about freedom and all, that passed in the conversation, and I wanted to put it back in there because I didn't think it was going to come back again. Right. See, but I apologize. I'm not apologizing. That's in that sense. I'm not. But I'm apologizing for being insensitive that you were trying to add onto something. I was out of context.
Okay. Let me explain one thing. First of all, I am also a very slow thinker. Second of all, I directed it to T. Grace, because she started to say something and I wanted to interrupt her specifically at that particular time because it was bothering me and I didn't want it, like, to go into a whole new thing. And I directed it to her because she was the one talking at that moment. If you would have been talking, you know, bringing up another point, I would have directed it to you. I would have said, hey.
Didn't you start to speak when I said you hadn't finished?